This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, July 20th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Whitta.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent, Gary. How are you?
I'm good. Today is the first Whitta Wednesday on a Tuesday that I'm actually sad that it's on a Tuesday and not a Wednesday. Can you guess why?
Wednesday, the 21st of July. It's not your birthday. Is it your birthday?
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday early, Gary Whitta.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you make a big deal about your birthday? I had no idea your birthday was approaching.
At this age, no.
Yeah.
Maybe for the big ones. Maybe next year.
Because well, you're turning 37 this year, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay. But no, not really. I don't know. I always go back and forth on it. I don't want to make a fuss, but then my birthday actually rolls around. And I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I'd made a bit of a fuss. But I mean, especially this year with COVID and everything, what are you going to do anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So, really.
How are you handling it? You know, you're vaccinated. Obviously, your whole family's vaccinated, aren't they? Are you not going out still? You're still not seeing people?
Well, I have a nine-year-old who isn't vaccinated.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
So, yeah, that does put a bit of a crimp in certain, you know,
what they're projecting, winter like now? That. Winter, they're saying, they think? Midwinter, they should be able to have vaccines for kids?
Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? But you know, we're pretty used to the COVID lockdown lifestyle at this point. You know, we'll just keep grinning and bearing it until finally it's safe to come out. I'll just, you know, thank God for video games. I got an ice cream cake in the freezer. Very excited Ooh. About that. My favorite
All
kind
right.
of cake.
Tell me what kind of is it? Just ice cream cake in general?
Nothing too fancy. Just got it from the market. It's a like white frosting on the outside. Sure. And like a kind of like a marble chocolate cake inside. It's okay. going to be quite, I'm quite looking forward to it. I love ice cream cake.
That sounds delicious. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
well, happy birthday, early birthday.
Well, thank you
what are you going to do to celebrate? What game are you going to play on your birthday?
Well, oh, so to a quick plug, I mean, not really a plug, but today, as you may know, is the launch of Fall Guys season 5 in the jungle. Right. Myself and Snowbike Mike and some other friends will be heading into the jungle tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/GaryWhitta, twitch.tv/SnowbikeMike. We're going to be squadding up and embarking on a jungle adventure together, a little pre-birthday celebration. Should be fun.
It should be. You know what else will be fun?
What's
talk about the Death's Door reviews, Ubisoft's new free-to-play shooter, and of course the PlayStation 5 losing weight. We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. Of course, you'd get those benefits along with watching us record shows like the Gamescast Live for all the other games properties over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And if you went up to the gold subscription, you could even get it for all the content on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can support us and get a bunch of exclusive content and Patreon shows. But I digress. If you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. You can watch us record the show live for free on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like Frog Knight, Joshy G, Wasted Bandwidth, and Travis Warren R. If you're watching live, of course, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe every weekday. House keeping for you. There's a brand new episode of PS I Love You XOXO up right now. You can go hear me lament and apologize for sleeping so hard on the latest entry in the Dark Pictures anthology. You could also go over to Kinda Funny, youtube.com/kindafunny, and get a MCU in review for Loki, where we take the entire Loki series, recap it, rank it with all the other MCU properties. MCU in review, of course, Patreon, or no, youtube.com/kindafunny, PS I Love You XOXO, youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Each of them have a podcast feed. You get on a podcast service of your choice. Go out there and support some people and have some fun. Thank you to our Patreon producer and supporter forever, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Purple Mattress, Canva, Freshly. Oh, those are just, I was going to say, and more, but that's not right. Purple Mattress, Canva, and Freshly, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Kevin. Time for some news. Kevin, are you okay? Kevin, stop. Stop doing it. Stop.
Kevin's a little horse.
Okay,
he's
no,
finally
Kevin,
overdone it. He's got nothing left
anything.
In the tank.
Kevin, just mute yourself. No more doot-de-doots. No more
Greg,
talking.
Do you want me to do it? Greg, do you want me to do it?
No, I want. I think I might. Andy Cortez, number one games journalist. I think I might need you to call an ambulance for Kevin. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you. Number one on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, Death's Door reviews have begun to post, and we got a certified hit on our hands. Right now, the Metacritic is at an 87. That's right, 87 out of 100. I'll start with Windows Central, who gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Kevin, I gave you a trailer here for B-roll if you aren't dead. Jez Corden at Windows Central writes, Death's Door is a triumphant game that honestly feels like a steal at $20. A great cast of characters, a menacing menagerie of monsters, satisfying and stylish hack and slashery, all wrapped in a gorgeous world that somehow manages to be desolate and uplifting at the same time. While there are a few bugs and minor issues here and there, they are ultimately minor and don't threaten the whole package. Acid Nerve once again proves themselves to be masters of their craft, creating a world that defies its budgets and delivers something unique and special in the process. Death's Door effortlessly joins my list of best Xbox games launched in 2021 so far, and hopefully will join yours too. Over at IGN, I got a 9.0 from Brendan Graber, who wrote, Death's Door is a must for those looking to scratch the itch of a classic Zelda dungeon delving game, with the added bonus of impeccable combat against waves of foes in a creepy world. Secrets are plentiful enough to offset the low variety of rewards, and the cohesion of puzzle solving and combat encounters worked terrifically to challenge me in all the right ways. While I wish the adventure didn't end so soon, as a Reaper of Souls, I know nothing lasts forever. And then GameSpot.com tosses in an 8.0. Alessandro Barbosa writes, with an engaging world to explore and consistently satisfying combat to keep things entertaining, it's easy to fall in love with Death's Door. Its premise hooks you immediately, and it has the style and substance to maintain the captivating allure of its opening. Perhaps, most importantly, it's just consistently fun to play. With sharp enemy designs that keep you on your feet to challenging boss fights that test your skills in satisfying ways. There's a lot of death to deal and souls to reap, but Death's Door makes it a delight every step of the way. Gary Whitta, have you played any Death's Door yet?
No, but I did pick it up. I'm excited to see that it's out. It looks terrific. Don't forget, it's also on PC, Xbox console exclusive, but it is also on PC. It's on Steam right now. Same price, $20. The only strike against it, and Paris and Mike and I actually talked about this recently on the Xcast. It's kind of weird how it's the only strike against it. It's not on not on Game Pass, because you know,
we
expect everything to be on Game Pass these days. When a game actually drops with an a la carte price, like, really, got to pay for this one? Why can't it be on Game Pass?
An Xbox in here all of a sudden.
It looks well worth the $20.
The audience has been doing
could
forever.
It be, Greg, let me ask you the question, could it be this year's Hades? Because it's storming out of the gate.
I've been playing Death's Door, but I only got one night with it before Poe came, and I had to be an entertaining friend and play co-op games and run around and do stuff that of his choosing. And so I enjoy what I've played of Death's Door. I definitely think it is something special, but you don't have to take my word for it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast, the one, the only, the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez. Andy, how much Death's Door have you played?
I'm 14 hours in. I beat it yesterday before we recorded Loki in review. And it's on right now because I'm still trying to do stuff. There's a lot to uncover even after you beat the game. And it's just fascinating that there's this much sort of detail and passion put into a game once you're kind of done with it, especially at that $20 price. I forgot who the first review was that you read, Greg, but it's so true that there's a lot here for $20. And it is one of my games of the year so far.
Damn.
Can I just say, I'm actually genuinely surprised to see Andy show his face with me here on the show. He's been ducking me for weeks. Here he is.
Gary, come on, yes. Man. You know I love you, dude. I prepared something for you. Happy birthday to you.
That's sweet.
Happy birthday to you. Treat yourself and take a day off. I'll fucking kick your ass at Mario Golf.
I love it. Thank you so much. And the invitation to have a friendly, no grudge, no stakes match of Mario Golf, of course, stands as it has now for weeks. Anytime you're not washing your hair, not ducking me, feel free. I'm always around. I'll play you anytime. Let's get it on the books.
Okay. Greg, you heard it.
All right.
I heard it too, yeah. Greg.
We've all heard it. Everybody knows. You just need to step up.
It's that thing where Andy could barely beat me at Mario Golf. And I think any given Sunday, that game could go a different way. But I think Gary's not in our league, Andy. Like, I don't even think he's like in our league for Mario Golf. You know, he's putting up these things against the AI. He got negative 21. Then he puts up a clip of him rage quitting against the AI. I'm like, okay.
That wasn't against AI. Those were against top level online randos. Thank you very much.
Just saying what I saw. Yeah. Back to Death's Door, though. Andy, I know you're coming on the Gamescast to talk about it today, of course. Well, you're on the Gamescast every week, but you can catch that patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We record it live this afternoon, and then you can come back later. But if that wasn't enough, I know the Xcast on Saturday is going to talk about Death's Door and Psychonauts 2. And so, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show from the Kind of Funny Xcast and, of course, Gamertag Radio, the one, the only, Paris Lilly. Paris, you're muted, but you're here. I see you. But there's no sound coming out of
him. He's not muted.
Well, he unmuted himself.
He probably heard me saying happy birthday, and he was like, all right, Andy's going to do a bit. Let me just continue real quick. If you like this game and do not play Hyper Light Drifter, I'm coming for your ass, all right? When the devs went on Gamescast and talked about the influences that they had, or on Xcast, rather, when they went on Xcast and talk about because I was there part of the Xcast, if you remember that video that I put
up. I remember. A great video you put up.
Yeah, thank you.
Hello?
When they talked about their influences with Hyper Light Drifter, holy shit, this game has so much more. It's much more than just the hack to get your ammo back. There's a lot more in there that it's almost as if they looked at what Heart Machine is doing with Solar Ash and said, all right, fuck it, we'll make the Hyper Light Drifter sequel. And it is phenomenal. I still want to uncover, and I think I'm like 95% complete done with it. Because obviously I beat the game, but there is that completion percentage that shows you how many secrets you've unlocked and all that. So it's amazing.
You said 14 hours. That sounds like a decent chunk of game for $20.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the best voice in the business, Paris Lilly.
So I had this awesome intro that I completely screwed up because I was on mute, but
dude, again, we don't know.
I've been saying this from the moment I saw that game. I've been saying this for weeks. Death's Door is going to be great. It's going to be amazing. That's why I got Acid Nerve to come on Xcast to talk about it. And the reviews are proving it. And like Andy, I got to beat it last night. Game's phenomenal. The fact that it's only $20 is crazy to me. I'm probably like 15, 16 hours into it. And there's definitely some things to do once you finish it as well. It's great. Like, I even posted a quick little video on Twitter with one of the early boss encounters that you have. It's phenomenal. I'm not going to go as far as to say this is going to be game of the year, but I think from an indie standpoint, I mean, Keeley's going to be talking about this in December. Absolutely. Sure. It's that good.
I mean, that's why I made the Hades comparison, because it came out and it was great and everyone loved it. Bastion's a great developer. The little indie game that could. But then, like, did anyone really predict when Hades first came out that it was going to be hoovering up Game of the Year awards at the end? No. So, like, you never know these days.
Supergiant, by the way.
Yeah, you don't. But it's fantastic.
Sorry, Bastion. Supergiant, Bastion. It's Bastion's birthday or something. So I think it's like their 10th anniversary of Bastion. That's why it's on my mind. I know.
Here's the thing for me. So Andy and Paris, here's what I want you to discuss real quick. We read through the, you know, the synopsises of the reviews, and I know both of you want to talk about it at length on your podcast coming up. So before we get out of the actual talking of Death's Door, what is it? And this is the question for that. We'll start with Andy, but then I want Paris's take. What is it about this game that makes it so special?
Andy Cortez, it has those really sort of eye-opening, impressive level design that I love from all the Souls games that I've enjoyed. It kind of blows me away in that way. There's charming characters. I think this, the only thing keeping this from being like really close to a Zelda type game is that there in Zelda, I felt like every NPC had something to have you go do. In here, most of the NPCs are kind of just like set dressing, and they are characters with fun and quirky dialogue, but there aren't a whole lot of NPCs making you go do stuff.
Okay.
But the ones that do, it still feels rewarding. And the stuff that they have you go do is really satisfying. I think for me, it's the combat. It is managing all of the eventual weapons that you do unlock. You don't just have this bow. You unlock more weapons as you go on. You find more melee weapons. And for me, it's the attention to detail that goes into the level design, but also the mysteries to sort of unlock. And there are so many times in this game where you're walking somewhere, you're walking along sort of a gated path, and there's an opening in the gate, and you don't know, and on the other side of it there's water or something. It's like, well, I can't go in there, but there's something there later, there's something that I can do here later. And I've just found myself sort of walking around the main locations just looking for secrets to find. And it is so rewarding when you do get it. And when you have that sort of aha moment, again, I've mentioned, I don't love puzzle games and stuff, but there are some really cool elements that have you kind of figure out like, oh, well, there's gotta be something up here if there's a walkway here. And it's all that stuff that just feels, I don't know. If you're going to explore, they will reward you for it. And there's just a lot more than just fighting the bosses in this game, yeah, and those moments are spectacular. And the music, holy shit, the music.
Yeah, you're going to talk about all that on Gamescast, all right? Keep some in the tank, kid, all right?
That is one thing that Supergiant always does well. Great music.
But this isn't Supergiant, remember?
Oh, no, sorry.
You're confusing it because you said it's this.
Well, I keep making the Hades comparison. That's why. And it's Bastion's 10th birthday today. I got Supergiant on the brain today. Sorry about that.
This is Acid Nerve, of course, makers of Titan Souls. Paris Lily, what makes Death's Door special to you?
I mean, I think Andy summed it up very well, so I won't repeat it other than to say, to me, this is, if you were to make a Link to the Past now, that's what this is. To me, that's what I felt when I was playing this the entire time. And like he was starting to say, the music's phenomenal, but I'll let all that happen on Gamescast. Andy can talk about that in detail, but it's a phenomenal game, and it blows my mind that two people made it.
It's a really small team, right? Yeah, I was about to say, really small. Crazy.
Well, now, everybody, welcome to the show. The boss baby himself, Barrett Courtney.
Who isn't in here today?
Gamescast and XCast and all these things coming up. What do you got?
Death's Door is really cool. I just saw a bunch of people and I just wanted to jump. It's a pretty cool game. Pick up. Who complain that it's not on Game Pass today? Get over it. It's worth it.
Speaking of that, Mark Starvaghi writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Gary, and now Paris and Andy and Sad Boy Barrett. The reviews for Death's Door are phenomenal, and it seems poised to be the next Hades, maybe with less erotic fan art. Yet, while Hades launched exclusive to the, quote, indie machine Switch, Death's Door is exclusive to Xbox, a platform where we expect nearly everything to come with our Game Pass subscription. Death's Door is not on Game Pass. Will this decision by Devolver to put a title on Xbox exclusively, but not on Game Pass, hurt its sales? To use myself as an example, I do not buy games on Xbox. I will wait for indie titles like this to come to Switch, where I can play them on the train and at my girlfriend's house, or Game Pass, where I don't have to purchase them at all. Do you think there are enough people like me to temporarily hurt this game's sales?
It's not an Xbox exclusive. PCs exist.
You know exactly what he's talking about, though.
Yeah, console exclusive, Gary. Come on.
Until I got my Steam Deck, PC gaming is dumb. I've said that, and I will continue to say that, all right?
Yeah, just imagine, I can't wait. You're going to be doing your taxes anyway, Greg. It's going to be so exciting.
I can't wait to be using it for
Skype. I need to do some taxes. I can just pop out my Steam Deck right here. It's fantastic.
Mark, I think, yeah, I mean, the TLDR, your answer, well, the fact that it's not on Game Pass hurt its sales. Arguably, yes. That's what we've heard from people who put their games on Game Pass, right? That actually leads to more people buying them and stuff. What you have to be trying to... We'll never live in that alternate universe where we know what Death's Door would have sold if it was on Game Pass. The hope here would be that you're looking at a game, like we're talking about, is it this year's Hades, right? A game that is going to have enough goodwill and people talking about it that by the time it is no longer an Xbox exclusive, right? Because is this timed exclusive? Do we know that, Andy? Gary? Andy, you're on the interview with them.
I think it's just console.
So, but not timed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just Xbox. Yeah, I don't think it's coming to PS5 or PS4.
Wait,
yeah.
Greg, you know that he wasn't actually on that interview, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I just needed to be sure.
I think, you know, this is one of those... We don't live in that alternative dimension, but yes, I would assume that it would hurt its sales. The problem is that, you know, so for the amount of people who talk about their game doing better after being on Game Pass, I don't know what that actually looks like financially. I know they're talking to smaller developers. This is a game that has Devolver behind it. This is a game that has a proven development team behind it that has had hype along it for a long time. The real question is, we're getting it from Mark, right? Of like, I'm not going to do this. I usually don't buy games there.
Paris is time exclusive.
Yeah, I would imagine it is in this world. Thank you, Paris, for actually having some answers, unlike this joke interviewer, Nitro Rifle.
Yeah, because I was joking about it earlier. Oh, it's not on Game Pass. I've actually got to buy this one because we're so spoiled by Game Pass. But it's, you know, who knows? It's weird. Like, I kind of almost expected, I don't know why I say this, but it almost kind of felt like a Game Pass game. Like, you just kind of halfway expected it to be on Game Pass, partly because it is, you know, a console exclusive on Xbox. And it just has that kind of cool indie, yeah, this will be on Game Pass kind of vibe to it. But again, we probably never will. If we don't work at Microsoft, we'll probably never understand the economics of putting a game on Game Pass versus, you know, releasing it for $20. Obviously, if it were on Game Pass, it would get a bit more of a big boost because, you know, people are more likely to just pick it up and try it. But, you know, as to why some games end up on Game Pass and some games end up as a $20 purchase, who the hell knows? It's, you know, the mystery economics of it. We'll never understand.
The economics, right, would be on Devolver's side, where they get offered, you assume, I'm, you know, could be talking out of turn here, but they get, you know, I'm sure at some point Xbox approached them for Game Pass and offered them X amount of money, and Devolver was like, thank you for the offer, but we think we can do better without that. We think we can make more selling it straight up. And so that does go into the financials of it. If it is timed exclusive, right, then you're in the same boat as if, to an extent, of if it was on Game Pass, where right now it's this groundswell of goodwill. You have a whole bunch of people going off about how great this game is, how amazing this game is, and you hope both that it leads people to be like, man, I better pick it up on PC or Xbox right now, but then also if it does come to Switch, if it does come to PS5.
Yeah, it might just be that time. Yeah, like you said, Greg, they knew what they had. Like, the early buzz on it was so good, and like they just were really, really confident this was a great game that was going to make its own buzz. They were like, you know what, we can sell this for $20. We don't need to put this on Game Pass.
And also the argument, of course, you know, that again, and I'm not even making this devil's advocate wise, and I'm not trying to put myself in anybody's headspace, but there's that argument, I'm sure, for some people, and maybe for Devolver, of right, like, well, we don't want to, this is a premium game for us, we want to be able to charge for it, we don't want to get in the habit of thinking that all Devolver games are going to go to Game Pass, or that anything we do in Xbox,
Fall Guys is a premium game for Devolver that went on PS Plus, but I mean, maybe that was just a bigger money truck, who knows.
There's that, and I think it might be a different standing too in terms of the developer, right? Mediatonic, of course, had done a bunch of great PlayStation minis, but this was a big breakout for them in how do you get that, a game that needs people playing it, right? The game that needs as many people as possible playing it. I think that's a little bit different than this single player Zelda-like, right? Where you want people to get in there and have an experience, and you're speaking to a very specific group of people, right? Having Poe through my house and like talking to him about games and stuff, this would never be a game I think that he would look at or hear about and hear pitched and be like, oh, that's a game for me. It might be if you watch me play it or got into yada yada, you watch a stream for it. But in terms of all these reviews we're talking about, right? We're talking about, I think, people talking in a very specific way to a very specific audience, and that's us, this audience that listens to gaming podcasts and pay attention to gaming news every day.
I wonder why there's no, I mean, maybe down the road it will change, but I wonder why it is. So, I mean, there's all kinds of different payments you can get from these console publishers, right? Microsoft will give you money to put your game on Game Pass. Maybe they were already getting a bunch of money to make it an Xbox exclusive. If there's no, I mean, because otherwise, why
I do you think know, that's true as well.
Give up all those PS5 and Switch sales?
Yep, 100%. That's also a great point that, yeah, Microsoft probably put money behind it and marketing budget behind it. That way you saw it at so many different showcases.
They've definitely been marketing it a lot. I mean, I've been hearing a lot about it up until today, for sure.
Well, now you'll continue to hear more about it as Game of the Year rolls on. And of course, Andy comes to the Kind of Funny Gamescast today, patreon.com/kindoffunny315. You can hear Andy's in-depth Death's Door review. I'm sure Barrett will chime in. And remember, of course, the X-Cast this Saturday, talking about Psychonauts 2 and Death's Door. What a banger of an episode. And then Snowmike Mike in the chat keeps teasing a guest. So we'll see what that is.
I think X-Cast will primarily just be Psychonauts. But
I bet one of you talks about Death's Door.
I bet we don't.
Fuck.
God. $5.
All right, fine. $5, Death Door gets mentioned on the X-Cast. Gary, I need you to mention Death's Door at some point.
It would be a weird one not to talk about. And now look at that. Everyone just goes.
Coward. What a bunch of cowards. Number two on the Roper Report. Let's talk about Ubisoft's new Tom Clancy shooter, X-Defiant. This is Michael McWhirter over at Polygon. Ubisoft is making a new free-to-play shooter set in the Tom Clancy verse called Tom Clancy's X-Defiant. It's pitched as a high-octane 6v6 multiplayer first-person arena shooter. It's fast-paced firefights meet punk rock. Let me try all that again. I wasn't ready for this. It's, quote, fast-paced firefights meets punk rock mosh pit, end quote, said X-Defiant executive producer Mark Rubin and creative director Jason Schroeder in the reveal video. Developed by Ubisoft San Francisco, Tom Clancy's X-Defiant promises realistic gunplay with personalized classes represented as factions with special abilities. Those factions, Echelon, Outcast, Cleaners, and Wolves, are inspired by other Tom Clancy games like Splinter Cell, The Division, and the Ghost Recon series. On top of deep personalization and customization, gunplay is, quote, top priority, Ruben said. X-Defiant will feature an ever-growing arsenal of authentic weapons and attachments, Ruben explained, boasting that Ubisoft San Francisco is crafting every weapon attachment for precise, satisfying gunplay. An early gameplay test for Tom Clancy's X-Defiant will launch August 5th. Interested players can register at the game's official website. The game is still early in development, its creators said, adding that, quote, your feedback is essential to make this game great. Schroeder said that Ubisoft plans to add to the game's, quote, diverse cast with new characters, and Rubin said that UBSF is committed to creating a welcoming game based on fair play and transparency. Tom Clancy's X-Defiant is coming to PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Windows PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X, /S as well, with streaming versions for Amazon's Luna and Google Stadia. Ubisoft promises cross-platform play. X-Defiant was previously outed as Battle Cat back in June, if you remember that, everybody. Gary, what does X-Defiant do for you?
I'll take a look at it. I actually have been on the lookout for a new shooter. My trigger finger's been getting itchy lately.
Oh, look at you.
I want to try something new. I actually went back and booted up Unreal Tournament for the first time in 20 years because I want like an old school shooter, and there's nothing out there right now in the shooter landscape that kind of scratches that itch for me. But I thought it was interesting that they kind of, like, you know, this came out of nowhere. I had a couple of thoughts initially. First, it seems like a weird choice of game to put the Tom Clancy branding on. I get that they own it, and, you know, as soon as you say Tom Clancy, people go, okay, because, you know, that name's now been attached to a bunch of really popular games. I mean, when I think about Tom Clancy, I think about guns, I think about politics, I think about, you know, kind of geopolitical warfare, intrigue, spies, and stuff like that. I don't think punk rock. You know, like Tom Clancy is a hardcore GOP conservative Republican. Like, punk rock is not, you know, I wouldn't really usually think of that. He's probably,
well, how much does any of these games have to do with Tom Clancy?
Spinning in his, well, most, I mean, with Extraction, which is going into a more sci-fi place, I get it. But, like, you know, Splinter Cell, you Division. Know, Rainbow Six, you know, Division, all that stuff kind of felt like, the Division feels like a novel that Tom Clancy could have written, right?
Sure.
And so does Splinter Cell. And they did, in fact, do those spin-off books. But, you know, once you get into, like, I don't think Tom Clancy would have written Extraction as a novel. He certainly would have written a novel about a bunch of kind of punk rock, you know, gun enthusiasts, I don't think. So it's a weird one. You know, for me, that's kind of like here nor there. It's just kind of a weird question from a marketing standpoint. My initial thought on it, and maybe I'm just going to betray my lack of understanding of the current shooter landscape right now, just sound like the very old man that I am, but I watched like the 30-second, you know, gameplay loop in that Twitter video they put out, and my initial thought was, man, I could be looking at any shooter right now, like just any shooter, and it just looked very, very generic to me, and it kind of made me feel just it, to me, it kind of illustrated just how much tunnel vision we've now got at, in AAA game development. Like, it's just shooter after shooter after shooter. And I get that it's a lucrative market, part of the market. It's a very popular space. People, you know, want these games. So the business, the industry is going to give them to them. But, you know, off the back of, like, you know, Valorant and, you know, Warfare and PUBG's still there and Apex, and there's just so much shooty going on. I look at this, I'm like, what does this bring to the party that is new? And I'm sure they have an answer to that. I mean, I will definitely check it out. But when I look at, like, all the different shooters out there, they all kind of seem like much of a muchness to me. I imagine that people who, like, play Valorant and are really into it would be able to explain to me why what seem like incremental differences to me are actually a big deal in terms of the gameplay feel. And, you know, I totally understand. Ollie, I'm just telling you, my first reaction to it when I saw it was like, yep, there's a first person view of a guy with a gun running around shooting people. And I'm just like, when are we going to see something like really disruptive or new in this space, or just something new in an entirely different space? It's just shooter after shooter after shooter. And maybe this one's got something really innovative to bring to the party. I don't know. I feel like there's an interesting trend going on right now with the co-op horde type shooters, like, you know, Back for Blood. And I'm really like the Tom Clancy game I'm really interested in is Extraction. I think that'll be really fun. But I look at these kind of like another arena shooter. Really, is that what the market is crying out for? Ubisoft's, you know, marketing research would seem to suggest yes. I just know when I looked at that loop, I mean, my initial reaction was like, I could be looking at any of a dozen different shooters right now. That was my initial thought.
Generic. No, I'm with you. Where I started it like yesterday when the trailer dropped, or the, you know, the pitch video, whatever you want to call it, and watched through it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not a shooter guy, but I'm always looking for a shooter that could, you know, grab me and change my mind. And I watched that and I was like, this is not that game. Like, this is, I'm with you. And I'm not trying to rain anybody's parade. If you're into X Defiant or you love first person shooters, more power to you. Go enjoy yourself. But for me, I was watching it and yeah, I was like, okay. Like, these are so, like, the Tom Clancy hook here is that I'm different people. Like, when, you know, you're running around as third echelon, you know, just Gabe Logan. No, not Gabe Logan. Sorry. Sorry. Everybody calm down. All right. Sam Fisher's group, right? And you were using the tech that way and doing scans and seeing through walls and shit. I was like, okay, like, that's neat. But, like,
when I first saw it and I saw, like, you know, stuff from The Division and Splinter Cell characters, like, oh, shit, they're not trying to do, like, the shooter version of, like, an Ubisoft cinematic universe brawler, are they? Like, the fucking rabbit's going to show up in this thing? I, you know, it just seemed really weird to me. I don't know. It feels generic, but again, I think that the difference for the real enthusiasts of this genre, what marks these games out as different, and what often can make the difference between success and failure, are not the things that are necessarily visible in a 30-second gameplay.
100%.
You know, it's the little things that make the difference.
Exactly. And so I think, yeah, you and I are sitting here going, like, well, what makes it special? And maybe when you get it, people get their hands on it, they'll see it. I know that for me personally, watching the, you know, the latest Battlefield stuff from E3 and, like, around that time frame, you know, Summer Games Fest, all that jazz, that was the one where I was watching, like, that reveal where I was like, oh, you know what? Like, I don't think I'll be here forever, but I'd love to play this for a while. Like, the scale of it, the explosions, everything else, how good it looks. Whereas watching this yesterday, I was like, okay, cool. This is a fun free-to-play shooter, go get them. I was hopeful that we'd see Heartlands. I want to see some Division Heartlands, see what that's all about. But I digress. Gary,
yes.
I want to see Division Heartlands, but I know you want to see patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get all sorts of bonuses, like being able to write into the show, like getting your name read on the show, like getting the games cast, watching it as we record it live today with Andy talking about Death's Door. But of course, you could get the show without any ads. But guess what, Jack? You're not listening on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So let's hear about our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Purple. Doesn't it seem like the world's against you from getting a good night's sleep this time of year? Boy, I know. It's summertime. It gets hot. You're over there. You're flipping around in the bed. You can't get comfortable. It's a million degrees. You're flipping the pillows. You're still upset. You're sweating all the time. It's disgusting. But when you have a Purple mattress, ladies and gentlemen, you can sleep cool and comfortable no matter what life throws at you. That's because only Purple mattresses have the grid. Its unique ventilated design allows for air to flow through to help you sleep cool, even when it feels like 1,000 degrees out. We know all about Purple because, of course, Joey Noelle uses a Purple mattress. She loves it. She says the grid is great, better than foam. And, of course, it has been keeping her cool for quite some time. Try your Purple Purple mattress risk-free with free shipping and free returns. Financing is available too. Purple is comfort reinvented. Right now, you'll get 10% off any order of $200 or more. Go to purple.com/games10 and use the promo code GAMES10. That's purple.com/games10. Promo code GAMES10 for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/games10. Promo code GAMES10. Terms apply. Up next is Canva. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that we use Canva here? It's a thing that helps you learn. It helps you figure out how you're going to do. Are you working in Photoshop? Are you working in video? Are you doing stuff like Canva's got you covered. That's why Tim's been using Canva Pro. Canva Pro is the easy to use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. It's a quick, easy, and affordable way to design whatever you need. No matter what you're creating and sharing, Canva Pro has everything you need in one place, including a collection of over 75 million premium photo, videos, audio, and graphics. Tim's been using this. Roger's been using this. Nick has been using this. Of course, anybody who's making anything at Kinda Funny that's not just screaming into a microphone like me, they need graphics. You need videos. You need to get in there. You need audio like they're talking about. Canva Pro has it all. It's perfect for small creators, big creators, any creator. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. That's canva.me/KFGD. CANVA. .me/KFGD, canva.me/KFGD for more. And our final sponsor of the day, ladies and gentlemen, is Freshly. Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of you and your meals for a few nights a week and take the pressure off of you. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door, no cooking required. Ordering is easy. You visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick what you want when you need it. It'll do your dietary needs, preferences, taste, and family size. I still subscribe my father to Freshly. I go through, I pick the little meals on Freshly.com, and then he gets them prepared, and he can just take them to work, or when he comes home from work and he's exhausted, he can just pop them in and cook them right there, or, you know, warm them up and be ready to eat. Nothing, he doesn't need to worry about it. Dad doesn't need to cook. Number one crane operator Greg Miller doesn't have time for that. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/games. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to Freshly.com/games for $40 off your first two orders. That's Freshly.com/games for $40 off your first two orders. Number three on the Roper Report, let's go to PSU, where Ernest Lin is reporting on the PlayStation 5 losing some weight. A new model revision of the PlayStation 5 Digital Edition with model number CFI1100B01 in Japan is confirmed via a new safety guide user manual on the official Japanese PlayStation website. The specifications page of the manual lists this new version of the PS5 digital console weighing in at 3.6 kilograms, which is 300 grams, 0.66 pounds lighter than the 3.9 kilograms of the original PS5 digital model. At this time, it's unclear what has changed in the new PS5 digital model revision. Other than the weight, all the specification numbers are the same as the original PS5 digital edition. Additionally, the quick start guide shows the vertical stand of the new PS5 digital edition uses a different textured screw that allows it to be hand screwed. Previously, you needed a flathead screwdriver or coin. On the GEO page listing, the new PS5 Digital Edition model has the release date listed as July 20th, 2021. However, no PS5 digital consoles came in stock today at any retailers in Japan. In the company's previous earning report, Sony confirmed that the PlayStation 5 has sold 7.8 million units as of March 31st, 2021. The PS5 is the fastest selling console in U.S. history. Across the globe, the latest PlayStation console is still difficult to buy as it continues to not be readily available. The shortage of PS5s has been caused by shortages of semiconductors and other electronic parts, as well as scalpers. Gary, obviously not much to add to a little bit lighter of a unit, but are you stoked that you can use this screw by hand? Because when this screw got revealed, you said, here it is, Greg, it's PC gaming, and you started throwing that in my face.
Time to get out the screwdrivers, yes. No, I thought this was interesting when I saw it this morning. Yeah, it's not the biggest story, but it's a thing. If Sony can, you know, shave a few ounces off of the PlayStation, maybe that saves them a little bit of money in manufacturing and shipping and stuff like that. At the end of the day, the weight of a console doesn't mean very much, you know, unless it's a handheld. When you once you put it on your AV in your AV cabinet or on your desk or whatever, there it is. and you kind of forget if it's heavy or not. I think ultimately where they need to go and where the really interesting revision will come maybe a year or two down the road is in making it smaller, because I still think it's comically large and a little bit absurd looking. When I swapped out my PS4 Pro for my PS5, I put it into the same little cubby that the PS4 was. The PS4 was small enough that there was plenty of room around it. You have to remember, top tip for that, I mean, I'm sure everyone in the chat already knows this and everyone listening already knows this, but you know, when you put a console into, you know, a little cubby in your cabinet or whatever, you've got to have plenty of space around it for ventilation. And when I put the PlayStation 5 in there, there was maybe like it just barely fit with no room. But you need more than that. You've got to have room for the air, for the intake fans to pull the air in and then blast it out. Otherwise, you're going to start to have serious problems. And there just wasn't enough room. We had to go buy a whole new cabinet to fit it in. It was ridiculous. So I think the more interesting rev will come when they actually start getting it down to a slimmer size. I'll be very excited to see the PS5 Slim when that does hopefully come a couple of years from now. It is a weird thing in the meantime, though. Like it's not, you wouldn't even really consider this like a new rev. I mean, technically, no, it'll have a different rev number on it. But like, you wouldn't even like, even to like lift the two up, would you even be able to tell the weight difference? They just, you know, again, a lot of these mass, you know, volume manufacturing businesses come down to the margins, right? Like the tenth of a cent, you know. And if you're manufacturing millions of these and you can save even a fractional amount on materials and shipping by making it just a tiny little bit lighter and fewer materials, then, you know, that'll help Sony's bottom line. And yeah, I always thought the screw thing was just a little bit silly. The fact that they've now put some grooves around it so you can at least do it without having to, you know, go get your screwdriver out.
Go get my trusty nickel. Yeah, we'll see what the change is. Maybe it'll be something that'll hopefully make them easier to manufacture and get them out, but who knows? We'll see how much this 0.66 pounds actually matters. Number four for you, I toss this in there. This is another quick one. Gary, Kev, if you want to hit the trailer on this, Chris Tales review roundup is popping up as well. Of course, we already talked about Death Store, a great indie out there for you. This Chris Tales is making the rounds today too. The Metacritic's gone down since I put it in, but Metacritic of 74 right now. Reviews are still coming in. The game looks gorgeous. I turn over to Pure PlayStation, who gave it an 8.0 over there. Stuart McLean wrote, Chris Tales is a classic example of a game that serves as an homage to games of the past while managing to forge a path all its own. Solid and satisfying combat merged with a storyline that moves things along nicely, and if you enjoy turn-based RPGs, Chris Tales is definitely one to play. Gary, as you know, and you watch here, and we've talked so much, of course, in the past about Persona 5, the inability to get there, like the JRPG, turn-based combat, all that stuff, usually not something that snags my attention. But Chris Tales here, I think, is gorgeous, and releasing on Xbox Game Pass, so it is one of those you don't have to worry about it in terms of it. But I want to read you from their actual press release. Of course, I say Xbox Game Pass. It's also on PC, Switch, PS4, PS5, and Stadia. But there, it reads like this. There's no need to time travel into the future any further, as Chris Tales is available at last on present day, blah, 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 blah. Chris Tales is a love letter to classic JRPGs created by Colombian developers Dreams Unincorporated and Sick, where past, present, and future are brought together on one screen. Players can use Chris Bell's amazing ability to slip between time periods to both aid citizens across Crystalia's kingdoms and perform surprise attacks on enemies. If Chris Bell wants to save her magical world from the evil that threatens it, she must use her power to shape varied time periods while gathering allies that will help her in her quest. Again, I can't speak to how it is. Codes, we just got some codes overnight for it. I think it looks great, though, and it's got my interest peaked as somebody who isn't even the biggest JRPG fan. So I want to put it out there. Reviews seem pretty good. Like I said, we're still waiting for like an IGN, a GameSpot, those kind of people to weigh in. And a lot of the reviews that are up right now are in another language, but the scores are good.
Yeah, it looks good. It's good, you know, on Game Pass, so why not give it a try? I was like you, Greg, JRPG, as soon as I used to see that, that would be like a big turnoff for me. But as you know, I've talked about it a lot, Persona 5 and Yakuza Like a Dragon totally turned me around on that. Now it's like, ooh, JRPG, I might, you know, now that I kind of get it, now that the JRPG mechanics kind of clicked for me, I'll get, you know, I will look at this. The aesthetic and art style is beautiful. Looks like it's colorful. On Switch as well, right? Is it on PlayStation?
It's on Switch. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Okay. I like the look of it.
So there you go. Something to keep in mind. Keep those reviews. Keep your eyes on them. Number five on the Roper Report. Tencent has bought Sumo. This is Christopher Dring over at gamesindustry.biz. Tencent is set to buy Sumo Group in a deal worth $1.27 billion. $1 billion the companies have announced. Tencent already owns an 8.75% stake in the UK games developer, which work includes the recently BAFTA-winning Sackboy: A Big Adventure for Sony and Crackdown 3 for Microsoft. Also, although Suma does develop its own IP, it is best known for its work-for-hire projects, which will continue under the new ownership. The cash acquisition will go through Tencent's wholly owned subsidiary, Six Joy Hong Kong Limited. If agreed, Sumo will be the latest public UK games company to be bought for over $1 billion, including EA's acquisition of F1 developer Codemasters earlier this year. Quote, the three founders of Sumo who work in the business, Paul Porter, Darren Mills, and I, are passionate about what we can do and are fully committed to continuing our roles, CEO Carl Cavers said in a statement. The opportunity to work with Tencent is one we just couldn't miss. It would bring another dimension to Sumo, presenting opportunities for us to truly stamp our mark on this amazing industry in ways which we have previously been out of reach, ways which have been previously out of reach. Tencent has a strong track record for backing management teams and their existing strategies. Alongside the acceleration of our own IP work, Tencent has demonstrated its commitment to backing our client work and has stated its intention to ensure that we have the necessary investment to continue focusing on work with our key strategic partners on turnkey and co-development projects, end quote. So, as usual, something to look at. Tencent continuing to buy up people and have stake and everything and go on and just continue to get deeper and deeper in the video game industry. What it means and what that means for Sumo. Sumo, as the, pointed out by Chris in his article here, right, always known for their work for hire thing. I think, you know, Sackboy being the most recent one. What it looks like for them, on the, if they're going to do more original IP, if they're going to do more contract work, if Tencent's going to get them started on things, we'll have to wait and see. But that's what's happened over there. Gary.
Yeah, I know a couple of people that work at Sumo in the UK, actually. I was going to text them this morning to see if they woke up rich this morning. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Sumo, Sackboy Big Adventure was terrific. I actually went out and got a couple of extra PlayStation 5 controllers so we could all play it together here around the house. It was really, really fun. Really, really well-crafted game. Beautiful, it was the first game. Great, that, well, Sumo, great music. Sumo guys. Yeah, I mean, just beautifully crafted and constructed all around. Sumo is one of those companies that kind of flies under the radar and we don't think about or talk about a lot because, like you said, Greg, they do a lot of the unsexy stuff, the work for hire, the ports, the adaptations, the licensed properties. You know, when we think of the sexy developers, right, we think about like Naughty Dog, Insomniac, you know, those kind of companies that like do the like the big, you know, AAA original property games that get all the headlines. Meanwhile, there's companies like Sumo, you know, just happily working behind the scenes, putting out game after game after game, getting better at what they do, and eventually getting bought by the Chinese, as we all will eventually. So, you know, it's like Jeff Bridges said in Looper. Remember, he said, trust me, I'm from the future, go to China. You're going to wind up owning everything. You're going to wind up owning everything anyway, Greg. May as well, you know, cash out now.
Are they? Have they been offering you money for Kind of Funny? Have you heard of things?
Well, they wouldn't offer me any money for Kind of Funny. They would talk to you, right?
You strike me as the kind of guy, though, that if somebody approached you and was like, hey, we want to talk about buying Kind of Funny, can you introduce us to Greg? You'd be like, no, I can talk for him. And then you'd somehow do it and run with the money.
I know exactly what your company's worth. Don't worry. I'll be able to give him a decent quote.
Bitch. Number six on the Roper Report. Let's talk about Dim Tim Bits. I don't know why I called it that. I have a bunch of quick hits that don't have much to talk about, but I wanted to make sure we're on your radar, ladies and gentlemen. I'm always looking out for you. Number one, of course, we are all very excited at Kind of Funny for Back for Blood. They announced some Back for Blood PC details. They put out a new video. The new video highlights several features coming to the PC version of the game at launch, including 4K resolution, uncapped frame rate, NVIDIA DLSS, deep learning system, super sampling, ultra-wide and multi-monitor support, cross-play, and various other graphics and visual quality options. Back for Blood will be available on the PC via the Microsoft Store, Steam, and Epic Games Store on October 12th. We can't wait. Serenity Forge and Team Salvato today announced that Doki Doki Literature Club Plus has surpassed 500,000 copies sold in its first 2 weeks. Congrats to them. I still need to play that. I still haven't had it ruined for me of what I know it gets crazy. And I know they're playing it over on Twitch, but I haven't watched it yet, Gary.
Can I ask a question about that? Because sure, I installed it on Steam the other day, and I know that Mike and Nick did a stream, and I haven't seen very much of it, but I thought it was interesting because when I look at the trailer, It looks like one of those, you know, Japanese bubblegum, you know, high school kind of visual novel dating type games. But then the description says, you know, take a journey into the darkest depths of psychological horror or whatever. Like, is that actually what it is? Is it like more fucked up than it looks on the surface? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. In that case,
I don't know. I need to experience myself. I'm not looking at chat. I'm not going to look at, I'll never look at Twitter again. But yeah, like, I know, not that it would, I mean, the fact that it turns, I think everybody knows, but I've been told multiple times I need to play it. It's on my to-do list. It is on my system.
I'm going to, I installed it on Steam the other day. I do want to check it out.
Okay. Your next bullet point, Krafton Incorporated, responsible for entertainment properties such as PUBG Battlegrounds, today announced that it signed Adi Shankar to create and showrun an upcoming animated project based on the hit franchise. Let's go, friend of the show, Adi. Of course, you can catch Adi on the Kinda Funny podcast a long time ago now, but what a great guy. Congratulations, PUBG Battlegrounds animated show. All right. Up next, it's time to save Coco. Kinda. GameSpot reports Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin is off to a good start. Capcom has announced that the RPG has shipped 1 million units globally across Nintendo Switch and PC following its release on July 9th. Of course, I streamed that on last Wednesday with Mike. I had a great time with it. I wasn't expecting to dig it as much as I did. Basically, Monster Hunter Pokemon, but the cutscenes are beautiful, and I really like the art style of it. And then final one for you today. F1 2021 is patching out ray tracing on PS5, but just for a second. Their patch notes had a whole bunch of stuff, but read, PlayStation 5 only. We are aware of some instability within the game for a limited number of users on PlayStation 5 relating to ray tracing. As such, we have taken the difficult decision to temporarily disable it to aid stability. We aim to re-enable this as quickly as possible, and we will provide an update in due course. Gary.
Yes.
Those are your Timbits. Is there anything you need to pick through
there? Is that a new branding exercise? We're calling them Timbits?
I don't know why, but yeah.
Are you not concerned that the Tim Horton conglomerate might come after you?
Come on in here. Bring it on, you Canadian motherfuckers. I'm not afraid of Tim Hortons. You kidding me? They're all pushovers up north,
cut
all right?
To, yeah. How mean and nasty can their lawyers be? They're Canadian.
Exactly. Not worried about it. You can do whatever you want up there. Gary, I'm excited to see the impending lawsuit we'll have from Tim Hortons Incorporated, but that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Your voice sounds much better. Out today, Cotton Reboot on PS4 and Switch. Akiba's Trip, Hellbound and Certified on PS4, Switch, and PC. Chris Tales on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, notably on Game Pass. Mini Motorways comes to Mac, and I guess PC through another thing, but Mac was the big one. This is the one that was on Apple Arcade forever. Mind Maze, Xbox One. Ender Lily's Quietus of the Nights, PS5 and PS4, another game that had great reviews and looked really good when we were talking about PS I Love You yesterday. Steam, Rails to Riches Complete Edition is on Switch. Skydome is on PC. If you're into GTA Online, Los Santos Tuners has hit GTA Online, delivering the best of underground street racing culture, high-octane GTA action, and new music in one massive update. Oh, here's Mini Motorways, blah, 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 Mac via Steam. Alongside the Steam release, the Apple Arcade versions get two new maps, roundabouts, and gift capture. Hunt Showdown's new map, DeSalle, is available on live PC servers today and on the Xbox and PlayStation platforms in early August. IGN reports on the Fortnite update 17.20. It's arrived, and as you'll see in the 17.20 patch notes, it's more of a bug-fixing patch than a content update. The 17.10 patch added lots of new gameplay features like abductors and the mothership, but this time Epic is focused on repairing a few broken parts of the game, such as rifts and zip lines, which were both disabled earlier this season. For all things Fortnite, we turn to the big dog, Kevin Coelho. Kevin, have you been playing more Fortnite?
Oh yeah, played last night with one Roger.
Kevin, how much longer till Superman's in the game? I remember they showed it and it was like he's going to be out in 65 days. Where are we at now?
30 days. Let's say 30 days.
30 days? Fine. I wish it was sooner than that. New World, the upcoming massively multiplayer online PC game from Amazon Games, is entering closed beta today. The beta will run until August 2nd, giving players a chance to explore the mysterious island of Anternum ahead of the game's August 31st launch. So you got that going.
I was literally looking at that this morning. I'm kind of curious because I have also been poking around looking for a new MMO. I've kind of been sniffing around Final Fantasy 14, as it seems like everyone else is these days.
Sure.
But I know, you know, Amazon games, who the hell knows? But sure, I don't know. It looks like a trailer. Could be good.
Real quick, too, breaking news from the chat. Raj Former says we got zero dubs.
But we had a great time. I mean, we had fun. Roger does this thing when he laughs sometimes that he just laughs uncontrollably.
Sure.
And it warms your heart. It warms your heart.
I'm glad he's happy, and I'm glad you're making him happy. Also in the chat, Dev Dischain says 27 days, Greg, to Superman. Thank you very much. And then your final new date for you.
Pretty much nailed it.
Or no, is this wrong? Oh my god, your final out today. An important update from Resident Evil 7 Village players on Steam. Fidelity FX Super Resolution from AMD is now supported. FSR supports higher frame rates on PC for an improved gaming experience. Adjustments have been made to optimize the anti-piracy technology. New dates for you. I wish I had more for you, Gary. I know you're a big fan, but it has been announced that Tetris Beat is coming to Apple Arcade soon.
I'm excited about it.
I don't have a full date for you, and I wouldn't normally that wouldn't get you on the show, but I wanted you to have that out there, right?
No, listen, you know me. I don't know how many times I've bought Tetris since 1989, probably more than 20 times I've bought different versions of it. I love Tetris Effect Connected. Me and the family, we all still play it. The combination of Tetris and kind of, you know, cool beats. Dank beats, is that a thing?
You love their dank beats.
Yeah, the dank beats. And this seems to. I watched a little trailer of it earlier today. Yes, it's Tetris. Yes, there is dankness in the beats. There's going to be new music dropping all the time, kind of like almost like if Harmonix made a Tetris game. I guess would be the pitch here. Sign me up. I already have Apple Arcade, so again, it's like, you know, Game Pass for Apple stuff. Plug it, you know, connect up a couple of Bluetooth controllers to your Apple TV. I'm excited about it. I'll play it.
And then your final new date, Lone Echo 2 from Ready at Dawn Studios is launching August 24th, 2021. Also, apparently, I misspoke and said Resident Evil 7 Village. I meant Resident Evil Village was Resident Evil 8. Thank you very much, Hutch62191, for the correction. Time for some deals of the day. Believe it or not, I got a Nintendo one for you. Among Us is available for Nintendo Switch online members to try from 7/21 until 7/27. Among Us will also be available to purchase for 30% off from in the same time period. From 7/21 to 8/1. So there you go. You can get in there and you can try Among Us if you've never tried Among Us, which would be a crazy thing to say. Then, on top of that, Xbox Game Pass put out another one of like, hey, look at everything coming to Xbox Game Pass. I'm not sure how many have been announced before, so I'm just going to read it all and remind you Xbox Game Pass is great. So coming to July 22nd on Xbox Game Pass, Atomicrops on cloud, console, and PC. Then Raji, an ancient epic, which I know people loved on Switch, on cloud, console, and PC. And then Last Stop, which I can't fucking wait for, cloud, console, and PC. Then July 26th, you're going to get Blinks the Time Sweeper on cloud and console, Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge on cloud and console. Then July 27th, you're getting Microsoft Flight Simulator. I can't fucking wait. Xbox Series X and S. Then July 29th, you're going to get Lethal League Blaze, cloud, console, PC, Omno, cloud, console, PC, Project Wingman, PC, and then The Ascent, which I can't fucking wait, cloud, console, and PC.
I'm excited about all the flying things, particularly Flight Simulator. I'm really excited to see how that looks on the Series X. Obviously, look phenomenal. If you're running on a high-end PC, it looks phenomenal. It'll be interesting to see how much of that the Series X can really do. I think it'll be the first game that really it's the opportunity, I think, for the Series X more than any other game to kind of be like the technical showpiece of like, here's if you want to show off what this console could do from a technical standpoint, this is the game that you show people. And Crimson Skies, you know, if you watch the X-Cast, I say almost every week, that's the one I would love them to bring back with a full remaster. I'll happily go back and revisit the original Xbox game, usually if it's like upscaled at all or if they've smoothed it out or in any way. But I loved that game. I think that was probably one of my favorite games from the original Xbox generation. Bring it back.
Bring it back, everybody. Speaking of bringing it back, Greg Way, it's the return of required reading, a whenever we want to segment of something awesome we saw on the internet today. I want to point you to Kotaku, where Ethan Gotch is writing about. First, it was an Assassin's Creed expansion. Now it's Ubisoft's 8-year nightmare. He has a huge article talking all about Skull and Bones. I will read the first few graphs as an intro to get you started and urge you to go to Kotaku.com and check it out. A few people said it was cursed. Others simply had no idea what they were supposed to be making. Quote, nobody knew what the fuck they were doing, said one former developer. Skull and Bones development began back in 2013 as a multiplayer expansion to Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and that would release as a post-launch update. Three sources with knowledge of the project's origin said. The expansion soon took on a life of its own, however, morphing into a full-blown MMO-like spinoff with the working title Black Flag Infinite, and later a brand new pirate game called Skull and Bones. The game made a big splash with an on-stage reveal and hands-on demo at E3 2017 and returned a year later with a second polished demo, but since then has disappeared. Sources are split over what happened. Some say, despite the well-received E3 blowouts, the game effectively didn't exist. Others argue that a version of what was playable at industry events could have launched roughly on time in early access and matured in the wild as other games as a service have. Years later, the game is struggling to take shape and people are running on empty. Quote, a lot of stuff still doesn't make sense, said one former developer. Quote, just polishing it at this point would be a waste of time, end quote. Skull and Bones was originally supposed to launch in late 2018. Then sometime in 2019, then sometime after March 2020, then sometime before March 2022, and now it's due to come out before March 2023. Again, that is just the start of Ethan's article about Skull and Bones over at Kotaku. I urge you to go read it. It talks about the fact that maybe the only reason it still exists is because of a deal with Singapore. There's a bunch of stuff going on there. Really interesting read. It's in alpha now, apparently. Go check it out over on Kotaku.com. Gary? We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, of course, to use their Amazon Prime subscription on us because you get one free subscription each and every month that they don't remind you about and don't want you to use because they want to keep your money. But on top of that, we ask them to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. Scott Tremper says, Gary said Jeff Bridges said, Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, I misspoke.
Jeff Daniels is in Looper, everybody. It was a Jeff Daniels quote. Don't worry. It happens all the time. I'll toss this in there. Gabe Hewitt writes in and says, forgive me if I missed it in new dates or timbits, but you can pre-download the Pokemon MOBA, Pokemon Unite, for tomorrow's release on the Switch. So there you go. MOBA. Pokemon MOBA. Yeesh. I don't care about that.
Pokemon MOBA. Kill me.
I mean, this is just people going off about Tim Hortons now. I don't know what's going on over there.
What have you done? What have you said? What have you done?
It's a bunch of people trying to, you know, this is just nonsense.
Have you ever actually been to a Tim Hortons? I mean, you must have done, right? You've been up there and had Tim Hortons. Do you think it's all
ordered Tim Hortons?
Because I went to a Tim Hortons in Vancouver some years ago. I thought, okay, I've heard about the Tim Hortons hype. I'll get a coffee and some Timbits. And I was like, all right. I mean, I wasn't like, oh my God, like the scales have been lifted from my eyes or anything.
It's a Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't think it's as good as Dunkin' Donuts.
Wow. They're saying something, everybody. I just think it's a Dunkin' Donuts, which I'm fine with. I'm down. It's the ubiquitousness of it, right? It's just everywhere up there. That's the thing. It's just you can get them anywhere.
That's the thing. It's there. It's like it's a thing that Canadians get to call their own. You know, sure. we have our Tim Hortons up here. It's a thing. Tim Horton himself, I know, was very popular in his playing days, and you know he's done well for himself. And the whole what a brilliant idea! It's like, oh, we've got this shit left over after making the donuts. What do? Fuck it, sweep them up off the floor, put them in a box, and call them Timbits. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Exactly.
We weren't going to get sued before. You certainly are now.
Well, I mean, you just brought all the hate to you. I love it when somebody takes the heat off me. I can say whatever I want now. Nobody will remember. This is the time Gary went to war with Canada. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Kind of Funny Games Daily comes to you each and every weekday. Twitch.tv/KindofFunnyGames, YouTube.com/KindofFunnyGames, podcast services around the globe. However, of course, you go to Patreon.com/KindofFunnyGames to get your questions read, to get your name read, to be in the post show, to get the show ad-free, to get all the exclusive bonuses we do over there, and just to say, hey, Kind of Funny, we appreciate everything you do. Tomorrow, your hosts are going to be Blessing and Andy. Thursday, it's Tim Tam. That's right, Tim and GameSpot's Timur Hussein reuniting again, and then Friday, me and Blessing to close out the week. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, you can stick around to watch Mike, Andy, and Nick play some Second Extinction. If you want to catch that later, because maybe you're not watching live, of course, you can go to our newest YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, to see all of our archived streams each and every day. For now, Gary and I are going to run to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and do a hell of a post show. So, if you're not coming with us, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.